appreciate that. Very good. All right, let's get in our Bibles here today. We're going to 1 Corinthians chapter 10 today. 1 Corinthians chapter 10. Appreciate the good music, good singing. That's a good special right there as well. 1 Corinthians chapter 10 today. I've done most of my work and study. It's been kind of here and there at my mom's house and where I could. So my notes are kind of, I got notes everywhere today. So we'll see what comes out. Amen. But I want to preach this to you today, and felt like this is where we ought to go. So if you're able, let's stand together, and we're going to read just one verse to start with, and it will be our text, but we'll get to some others. 1 Corinthians 10, you know it well, verse 13, where the Bible says, "There hath no temptation taken you, but such as is common to man. But God is faithful, who will not suffer or allow you to be tempted above that you are able, but will, with the temptation also, make a way to escape, that ye may be able to bear it." Let's pray. Father, thank you for this great promise, Lord, one of the greatest promises in the Bible. We thank you for this. And Lord, we thank you for the encouragement of this chapter and this verse. I pray you would guide and direct us in our thoughts this week, Lord, and here this morning. And God, most of all, you would speak to the hearts of the people. Lord, more than hearing from me, they'd hear from you. And I ask it in Jesus' name. Amen. And you may be seated. I want to preach to you on that one phrase today, but God is faithful. As far as the title goes, I'm going to give, not just preaching on that phrase, but that's our title. But God is faithful. Aren't you glad that in a testing time, the Bible can insert, "But God is faithful." Amen. I'm glad for those phrases in the Bible like that. And this right here, let's back up to verse 1. Let's back up to verse 1. The context of this is Israel going into the promised land and being led by God and blessed by God, yet you know they still went into idolatry, right? They still sinned. So God gives a warning. I'll tell you what, look at verse 12. Go to verse 12. "Wherefore let him that thinketh he standeth take heed lest he fall." That's a warning to anybody leaning on their own strength. Amen. But then verse 13 tells you you're going to be tempted, but there's a promise to anybody who will lean on the Lord for help. Right? Amen? But the example, go back to verse 1. "Moreover, brethren, I would not that ye should be ignorant how that all our fathers were under the cloud and all passed through the sea and were all baptized unto Moses in the cloud and in the sea." Now, he's talking about the Red Sea. He's talking about the cloud that led them. God was there. God gave privileges. They were baptized unto Moses. They went into the water. Actually, they went in the midst of the water on dry ground. Amen. But they committed themselves unto Moses. Leadership. That's what it means. They were baptized unto Moses. Y'all remember the Red Sea? Just preached on that a couple weeks ago. God, by the way, what do you say? God to open up a way? God to make a way of escape? He opened up the Red Sea, right? Apply that to your own self in verse 13. Amen? Verse 4, and did all drink the same spiritual drink, for they drank of that spiritual rock that followed them, and that rock was Christ. You remember how God provided in the wilderness water from a rock? Well, the spiritual truth was the Lord Jesus Christ was their rock that provided and protected and helped them. Amen? So here they had the blessings of God. They had the protection of God. They had the path provided by God. They had the power of God there. They had the provisions of God there. And they had the presence of God with them. Yet, they're still examples to us of what not to do. Because it says in verse 5, with many of them, God was not well pleased. Verse 11. Just jump to verse 11. "Now all these things happened unto them for examples, and they were written for our admonition." Okay? Everything that happened to them, God gave as examples unto us. Amen? So they're an example of what not to do. They had the spiritual privilege and blessings of God, yet they still went into idolatry, right? So what's he talking about? He's talking about temptation. But I think he's talking about more than just temptation in verse 13. I think he's also talking about testing as well. Your trying time. So yes, the context has to do with temptation and allurements to sin. And by the way, God will make a way for you to overcome that one too. Amen. He said, no temptation has taken you. Taken you. You ever felt in bondage to temptation? Addictions, you might call it. Taken you is the idea of to seize upon or to grip you. Yet God says, if you'll look to me, I'll help you get out of that. Amen. God promises, if you look to me, I'll help you get out of the grip of the devil. I'll help you get out of the grips of the world and the bondage that is there. Amen. Now he said in verse 12, if you think you can handle it by yourself, look out, you're going to fall, right? And they did, because they got their eyes off of God. They did fall into idolatry, worshiping other gods besides God, even though they'd had all those privileges and all those blessings. They had seen the Red Sea open up. But now Paul has given New Testament truth out of that to you and me, that God will also make a way for you in your times of temptation, trying times, and testing as well, all right? This is a very powerful verse in the Bible. Now, the word temptation, everybody wants to know what temptation are they talking about. Commentaries vary, but the word actually means to test or to prove. The Greek word means to test or to prove. One commentary says it can be an enticement to sin. It can also be affliction, trouble, adversity that will test or prove your Christian character. Now, the promise is there that God won't put more on you than you can bear. Isn't this one of the most disbelieved promises in the Bible? Because a lot of people are like, He's put on me more than I can bear. He said He wouldn't, but He did. It really tests our faith, doesn't it? You say, I don't know that I can handle anymore. And God's talking about He doesn't put more on us than we can bear. But the Lord helps us is the idea. Every person faces temptation and testing. Nobody is immune. It's not a sin to be tempted. Get that. It's not a sin to be tempted. Everybody's going to be tempted. This is common to mankind, right? Everybody's going to get tempted. Was Jesus tempted of the devil? Yes. But He overcame it, right? God made a way, and He got out of that. It's not a sin to be tempted. Jesus was tempted and tested. Job was tested with a severe trying time. But they both, with the help and the grace of God, were able to come through it, right? So the Bible tells us, James said this, blessed is the man that endureth temptation. That endureth temptation. Again, the word has to do with temptation, but also testing, temptation as we know it. For when he is tried, he shall receive the crown of life, which the Lord hath promised to them that love him. You're going to be tried. You're going to be tested. You're going to endure this. We all are. It's common to us all, right? There's nobody that won't go through it, especially talking about Christian people. Now, some people seem to think they're tested more severely than others, and you need to be careful about comparing your trials to other people. Amen? You'll get better with God sometimes. And by the way, when you're going through a trying time, there is the temptation to get mad at God. There is the temptation. Well, just curse God and die, like Job's wife told him. There is the temptation to pull away from God, but the answer is, according to verse 13 here, is to go to God. You rest in Him. Something on our sign talked about when you're distressed, rest in the Lord. Amen? And that's the idea of this. So we know we're going to have this, and one commentary I was reading said something about people who are more severely tested, who have more trials and troubles upon them, Christian people, have a greater opportunity for the grace of God to come into their lives. And you're like, well, they can have it. You know, but no, honestly, you can grow more and more in the Lord the more if He chooses you like He chose Job, right? So anyway, it's all interesting. There's a lot of thoughts in that. But we know that we can be tempted and tested. Now, this is not a sign of weakness at all, but God's going to make you stronger through it all. Amen? The circumstances of trying times. Now, he said God is faithful. Now, listen to this. I'm just sharing some thoughts with you from commentary. God is faithful to make sure we are not smothered or overcome. God will limit the devil, and God will limit the testing. It's limited by God. Isn't that a wonderful truth? The principle is God never asks us to do something that is beyond our control with His help. Now, you think about sin. You know, the old saying was, the devil made me do it. No, the devil can't even make you sin. You got to make that choice, right? People are like, well, you know, this is my besetting sin, and this is my addiction, and this just comes upon me, and I can't help it. No, the truth of the matter is, most of the times, people run to it looking for it. Y'all here today? Amen, right? And finding sin today is pretty easy. You usually carry it around in your pocket. It's called a smartphone, right? But people still say, well, I just can't help it, yet you went searching for it. Right? God made a way. He said, throw your phone away and never have a smartphone again. No, He didn't say that. He said, I will give you the strength and the power. By the way, if that's what it takes, do that. I mean, when the Lord talked about, chop your hand off if you can't stop stealing, you know? Pluck an eye out if you can't stop lusting. I mean, what He meant was deal with it severely to get it out of your life, and God will give you what you need to do it. Amen? He didn't tell you to cut your hand off. He didn't tell you to pluck your eye out. He was given a lesson, though, there. It'd be better to throw your phone away than pluck your eye out. Amen? Or whatever the deal, the situation is. So Paul interestingly says God will make a way to escape. Now, the idea of that is good. It's the idea of like David. It was like David. Whenever David was in the wilderness, the idea of a way of escape was almost like somebody's in the wilderness. They're being hounded like David was by King Saul and his army. Yet you're in these mountains. You think, boy, they're coming over the horizon. They're all around. But then you come to a pass to where you see a way out of this, and you can take off and be gone. It's almost like you're in the midst of this trouble, you're in the midst of this temptation, you're in the midst of this trying time, and then one day God just says, let's go this way, and the door opens up, and you see light at the end of that tunnel. Amen? You see some light at the end of that dark and trying time. Don't you look forward to that? Amen? God can make a way, whatever you're trying to. So you apply this today. If you've got a temptation problem, apply it that way. If you've got a trying time in your life right now, apply it there. I believe it fits both, right? So whatever it is that might be going on there, God will help you with it. Now, the Ryrie Study Bible says it's not necessarily relief, but power to be able to bear the testing. It's not always relief from the problem, but it's power to be able to bear the testing. David Jeremiah Study Bible says, thankfully, God does not allow His children to be tempted beyond the borders of their limitations. God knows who can handle what with His help. It's always with His help. Amen? But God does know who can handle what. In a case like that, for sure, God knows. So, sometimes the way out, the Bible says flee. Just flee when it comes to temptation. Now, when it comes to your situation, your circumstance, your trying time, you may not be able to run away, right? And you're trusting God to open the door, and you're trusting God to help with that situation. But the way out is seldom easy. Have you figured that one out? But God has promised to make a way, which is an encouragement to us. God uses the testing to build you up. The devil uses the temptation and testing to tear you down. We got to choose which one we follow, right? Which one we go with. Another comment was, you can always count on God, and He gives you power to be faithful and obedient to Him. He'll help you do it, if you look to Him, right? If you look to Him. So, but God is faithful. So we all know temptations come. We all know we're the target of the devil. We all know the sources, the world, the flesh, and the devil. Those are your three enemies. 1 John chapter 2 talks about that. You've got three enemies right there, and you're one of them, right? The world is one. The world's not for your Christian life. Did y'all figure that? The world is not for your Christian family. The world is not for your Christian marriage. Y'all got that? It's the enemy, the flesh, This old sinful nature of mine doesn't help me out, doesn't help you out either, does it? It pulls you and lures you in the wrong direction. And then, of course, the devil is behind all of that, right? You know, that old thing, the devil made me do it, or the devil is the source. Actually, you got a threefold source. It's the world that we live in, the flesh that we live in, and the devil that's always around, right? We're fighting these battles all the time, so we know temptation's going to be there. And we're going to go through trying times. We're going to be tested by God or by Satan. God doesn't tempt us with sin, we know that. But God will test us, and God will allow it. Get that. God will allow it. Aren't you glad Satan can only go as far as God allows?
Amen.
I mean, read the book of Job, first couple of chapters. Satan can only go as far as God allows him to go. But sometimes God allows him to go farther than we would have allowed him to go, right? Whether it's a temptation to sin or a trying time that he's putting you through. All right, let me give you three thoughts. Number one today, we face the same enemy. Number one, we face the same enemy. I'm to the message. The introduction might be longer than the message, all right? We face the same enemy. How'd it get so late today? We have an adversary. The Bible compares him to a lion. He's a roaring lion. He's seeking whom he may devour. He's looking for opportunities to tear you down. He, not just to tear you down, the devil's out to destroy. He wants to destroy your faith in God. He wants to destroy the concept of the love of God in you to where you're tempted through your testing to just turn away from God. He does that. You say, why did so-and-so fall by the wayside? Why did so-and-so get out of the church? You don't know what they've been going through. You don't know what the attacks of the old devil were in their life. Amen? And we love them, and we pray for them, and we'll try to bring them back, but we don't know what all they've been going through. In the Garden of Eden, we see the first temptation in the Garden of Eden, and then we see Jesus being tempted of the devil. Or Job as well, and all the testing that goes on. We know the devil is a deceiver. We know he is a liar. We know he is a thief. Now, if you know somebody that you could describe like that, he's deceitful, he lies, he'll steal from you. You try to stay away from that guy, and you try to warn others about that guy, don't you? You say, I don't do business with that fellow right there because he'll rip you off. Well, stop doing business with the devil, amen, because he's the worst of them. But he's going to try to destroy you. He's going to lie to you. He's going to try to lure you into something. His intent is to just destroy you, although he's promising all kind of good-looking stuff. And we know we have that same enemy. This verse says it's common to man. Anything you face, look, there's nothing new under the sun. Now, look, there's going to be new labels on it. There's going to be varying situations of it. There's going to be new products. You say, well, back in the day, they didn't deal with some of the drugs that we have now. Intoxicating stuff has been around a long time. You know what I'm saying? They just ask Noah about that. He decided he would mess with the fruit of the vine, and he let it sit around too long, got himself drunk, got in a mess, you know, and learned, you know, don't let stuff sit around too long like that. And anyway, the Bible gives you a lot of stuff. But I'm just saying, there's nothing new under the sun. The type of desires that we have, the type of anger that we can fall into, the type of bitterness that we can have because of a trying time, and the devil tempts us to throw it at God and cast it in his direction, those tactics have been going on forever. It's common to man. Whatever we face, Jesus was tempted in all points. That's what the Bible's talking about. And the Bible tells us those points have to do with the lust of the flesh, the lust of the eyes, and the pride of life. They all are wrapped up there in these things. So we all face the same enemy, but we're also equipped to be able to win. Greater is he that is in you than he that is in the world. The Lord will give you a peace that passeth all understanding to get through that trying time. Amen? God to give peace, God to give grace, God to help, and God will give strength, and His grace is greater than our sin. Amen? So we face the same enemy, but let me say number two, the Lord is faithful. Number two, the Lord is faithful. And that's what he says in our verse. It's common to man. Don't think it's not. It's common to man. But God is faithful. The Lord is faithful. He limits the temptation. He limits the test. Someone has said this: Satan is allowed no untried enticements. Everything he's been using forever, he's still using, right? It comes in a different package. But no untried enticements. The world is allowed no unknown allurements. So whenever we get to thinking my case is unique, the Bible says no. All mankind is facing these same things. You say, but you don't understand my situation and the fear that I have of the future. Everybody has fear of the future. It's common, right? It looks different for you than it does others. And then the flesh is allowed no unexperienced cravings. So what the flesh desires, and he talks to them in this chapter, by the way, about fornication. He talks to them about idolatry, different sins that they would go after, and they did go after. And nothing's new. Others have been tempted just like you have. Some have lost the battle. And you've lost the battle, right? You've lost the battles. You don't say you hadn't. You have, right? You know people that have lost these battles. Whether it was a temptation to sin or whether it was a trying time that just they crumbled under that pressure. You know people. And you've been there yourself. And you know how easy it is for it to happen to us. But we all face these things. And when we say that, we're not belittling your problem. Don't get us wrong. We're not belittling your situation. You understand that. But everybody faces these things, right? So we understand some people have lost the battle. But you know what? You also know some people who have won the battles, right? I just mentioned Sonny a little bit ago, and he overcame a lot of things in his life, amen, by the help of God and by the prayers of his sister and other people, amen, right? And I'm just using that as an example. You know people who have won the battles. Let that be inspiration. Now, what do you say? All these things happen unto them, and they're examples for us. We know people in the Old Testament that won the battles. We know some that lost the battles. You know it in your own life. Let it inspire you to say, I'm not going that way because that they crumbled under it. I'm going to be more like Job. Though he slay me, yet I will trust him, right? Some have lost the battles. Others have won the battles. And what it comes down to is you can win it too. Or lose it. But we want to emphasize you can win today. Amen? God limits the temptation and helps us give resistance. You humble yourself under the mighty hand of God, but you resist the devil. Amen? Right? So we want to trust God with the situation. And God says it won't be above what you can handle with His help. You say, preacher, you just don't know. Maybe I don't. But I know what the Bible says. Right? So we're not trying to say everything's easy. We know it's not easy. But we're saying God wants to help, right? Don't say it's impossible to get through it. Don't say there's no way out. That's why that verse relates back to the reference in verse 1 about the Red Sea. Make a way, open it up. God can, right? And Paul here talked about how God can give you, His grace is sufficient. When I'm weak, He's strong. Amen. When I'm weak, His strength is in us to help us, right? Whether it be allurements to sin or a trying time, God says, I can help you be up to the occasion. God says, I can yoke up with you and make the burden lighter. So, yeah, we face the same enemy. The Lord is faithful, but number 3 is this: seek the way of escape. Seek it. Look for it. You know, whenever Jesus was tempted, He was tempted to sin, but yet He was also tested by being out there fasting 40 days and 40 nights. He was weak in the flesh, but He was strong in the spirit, right? So, but what did He do? He turned to the Scriptures, the Word of God. He wielded the sword of the Spirit, the Word of God. Seek the way of escape. Go to the Bible. Go to prayer. Go to God, right? And ask God, Lord, this is a temptation to sin that I need to overcome. I need Your help. Lord, this is a trying time that I need to get through, and I need to come out and see the opening somewhere. I need to see this open up somehow, this trying time. I need to see a way. And you're praying for that. And you're seeking for God to do that. That divinely prepared escape route that God can give. And He promises He'll give it, right? Furnished by God, an escape route. Have you ever had a phone call come right on time? And it ended up opening up a good door for you? It ended up being the answer to prayer? We probably all could relate to that. A timely phone call. You say, well, yeah, look, some phone calls will bring the trial, right? And the trouble. But some phone calls can open it up. You know, a couple of Thursdays ago, I was in the doctor's office with my wife, and she was bad off at that moment. And we were trying to get some help from a doctor, and my brother calls, so I'm like, I got to answer this. And he's telling me how bad things are there. And then a few minutes later, my mom calls, and she's telling me he just went to heaven. And I'm trying, you know, my wife and I are in here dealing with, she was going through a bad time, and then I'm getting that. And I dare not say anything till we got in the car. And then she wanted to know what was going on. So I had to tell her what had just happened while we were in there. And then she broke down about that. You never know what a phone call would do. But thank God for the phone calls that are an answer to prayer, too. By the way, that was an answer to prayer, because precious in the sight of the Lord is the death of His saints. Amen? And he went on to be with the Lord, and you understand the Christian perspective on all of that. Why do things happen at a certain time? God, leave that in God's hands. Amen? These things that happen sometimes that we don't understand. There's going to be varying circumstances, situations, and a timely phone call can be an answer to your prayer. And somebody can come through in a number of ways. God can bring a scripture verse to your mind like He did for Jesus. Jesus was quoting out of Deuteronomy against the devil. God, has God ever given you a verse for a certain season? The Lord's given me one. I'm not going to say it right now. I preached on it on Wednesday night here a while back, but it's been one that I've been using of late. Got to give you a verse. Amen. Got to give you some scripture. Got to give you a good prayer time of assuring you of His peace. Got to give you that pillar of cloud or fire by night to lead the way. Amen. But sometimes He leaves you in the darkness. But that's why you're praying for and you're seeking that way of escape. God can bring a person into your life at just the right moment. There's a lot of ways God can open it up. God can just work. He weaves and works. Have you ever read the book of Esther or the book of Ruth? Amen. God can, I've preached on those recently too. God can weave and work in ways that we don't know. I'm glad God's behind the scenes working when we can't see it. And you trust that? Do you believe that? I see no way out. God sees a whole lot more than I do. So I look up to Him. Amen. I see no way out of this. I don't see that way of escape. I just look to Him because He is that way. He is the way. Amen. And the Lord helps us through these things. So, but God is faithful. He gives promises here in the verse. But God is faithful, who will not suffer you to be tempted above that you are able, but will. So you see what it is? He will not let it be too much. He will, with the temptation, also make a way. Those are promises that ye may be able to bear it. Well, if I got to bear it, that doesn't mean it's necessarily easy. But He's going to make a way for me to bear it, bear up under it, to stand up under it, right? is the idea there. So are you enduring some testing in your life? Are you enduring some temptation or trial in your life? Are you near defeat? Are you near to crumbling? Are you close to shaking your fist at God in bitterness and anger? Are you being tempted to, like Job was? Are you about to yield to that trying time and what the devil's trying to do? Or are you realizing today, God knows where I'm at, and God knows what I'm going through, and God knows when this all ends. And God knows how it ends, and God has a plan and a purpose for it all. Isn't that got to be our perspective all the time? That's a biblical way of looking at it. God is there. Amen. He's with you all the time. He was with them. I mean, when they didn't realize it, I mean, look, he said back in verse 4, when they didn't realize it, that rock was following them, and that rock was Christ. Even when they didn't know it, when they didn't see it, He was there. Even when you're not all that spiritually, you're not everything you want to be, He's still there. Amen? And you need to get those things right, but He hadn't forsaken you, He hadn't abandoned you, right? And when you're in the midst of it, the Lord is there. There's so much we could say or talk about here. But the Lord is there. Now, the Lord faced these things. He was tempted in all points. He overcame. And now He's your way of overcoming also. So when he says that rock was Christ in verse 4, I think that goes hand in hand with Jesus being the way in verse 13. He's going to help you. Victory in Jesus. Amen? And somebody else said it this way, He is ever ready to help us overcome. He's always ready to help us overcome. But He's not always ready to do it the second I want Him to. Right? Why? Because I got to endure it. You got to go through it. Whatever it is that God has designed for you. But He's always ready to help. He's always ready to give grace. And He promises at some point the way to open up. Now, I preached on the Red Sea here recently. I mean, it says here they were baptized unto Moses. They had to entrust themselves to Moses' leadership, and Moses was entrusting himself to God's leadership, and it all worked out, right? And what a great story in the Bible it is. So you're going to have some temptation, and you're going to have some trying times. In the context, we could technically say this is probably more about temptation, allurement to sin. But the word means is broader than that. So I think it includes your troubles and trials and trying times as well. And I believe the truth applies just like it did at the Red Sea. That was not a temptation to sin. That was a test of their faith, right? And it's going to be the same thing in your life. But here's the point. But God is faithful. So while you're faltering and failing, He's still faithful. That's why you go to 1 John 1:9. He's faithful to forgive us and cleanse us from all unrighteousness. I'm faithful to fail. He's faithful to forgive and cleanse me again. Amen? He's faithful to always be there and help me. But if we'll look to Him, seek the way of escape. That might mean a season of prayer and fasting on your part. That might mean, Lord, I'm trying to find Your will. Lord, I'm trying to find the strength to deal with this and the wisdom to handle this. You're seeking the way, right? It's not always easy. It's probably seldom ever easy. But there's the promise of God. That's what I want to, and God is faithful. And I hope today you'll be encouraged with whatever you're facing right now, however this applies to you, and only the Holy Spirit knows and He can apply it, right, to you, how it applies to you today. But God wants to help you with it, right? And the promise applies that He is faithful. The promise applies that He'll strengthen you to be able to match how bad it is. And the promise applies that He will make that way of escape. You know, sometimes you need to just take verses like this to God and say, God, You said, and I'm expecting it. That's faith, right? God, You promised, and I'm looking for it. So whatever it is in your life right now, You let the Lord apply it. And remember, but God is faithful to love you, to be there for you, with you, to help you, to strengthen you. And His grace is always sufficient. Amen? Thank God for it. Would you bow your heads with me this morning, please?